Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za. Market update
on Kaya Biz.
This market update is brought to you by Satrix, where indexation is anything but passive. Satrix own the market. Matete Tulare is the head of FX execution at RMB. Welcome back to Kaya Biz. How are you this afternoon?
I am well, madame. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. So excited to be chatting to you about some key indicators that have come out, as well as markets in general. Let's talk a little bit about yesterday's current account deficit. It's narrowed for the third straight quarter. And I'd be curious what your sense is from an FX and FI perspective, what the implications may be for us.
Yeah, look, I mean, in rand terms, the current account deficit yesterday narrowed to 64.6 billion in the month from April to June. And I mean, that is obviously down from the 106 billion that we had in the previous 3 month period. Now, the trade surplus, on the other hand, also widened to a further 187 billion in the second quarter of this year, up from 165 billion in the first quarter. Now, the increase in the value of exports that we have in the country in the second quarter of this year obviously reflects the higher prices that we've had, and also the increase in the goods and services that we have in terms of both higher volumes and prices. Now, the slimmer than expected, than anticipated deficit that we had was also driven by smaller primary income in the shortfall. But now, obviously, the better than expected data that we had obviously yesterday has supported the rand, which is the best performing currency against the dollar. I mean, we just around having returned about 4.8% against the dollar in the past 3 months. Now, the rand has obviously, the rand has been on a bit of a good momentum on the back of investor optimism, given the formation of the GNU after the elections. We've also seen our equity market rallying 13% after the May 29 elections. Now, that is also being, expected by the Fed Reserve cuts that we're expecting later this month. I mean, already it's 2 weeks away from now where we're expecting the Fed to actually cut. But at this point in time, it feels like we won't get a 25 basis point cut from the Fed, but potentially a 50 basis point cut, which obviously is meaning that the rand, from an interest rate differential, it is going to be slightly stronger. But nonetheless, I mean, if you look at some of the numbers that we had yesterday, it is signaling that it's the country's ninth straight current account deficit, and also showing a consolidated budget shortfall, meaning that the Treasury that we have obviously is going to look at some of the key risks for us, given the the vulnerability to external shocks. Like you said, there is the geopolitical tension that has not went away. It is still in the background. The market is not focused on that. But despite all of this, I mean, we have seen the fact that there is a high debt load, and obviously this is something that the minister will have to touch on come the October the 30th, when it's his midterm budget statement.
All right. And on that subject, the high debt load, what we need to do in terms of fiscal consolidation, which we've been promising for decades. The IMF has announced that it would like South Africa to legislate a debt ceiling. Why is that important? And is it even feasible in the South African context? I think that what they're saying is the core debt that we see seldom includes, or when we speak about debt consolidation, we seldom have the same kind of discipline when it comes to those emergency bailouts, in particular for SOEs. So what's your perspective on that, Matete?
Look, I mean, if you think about it, this is something that the IMF, the World Bank, the ratings agencies, they've constantly spoken about this. It is part of, fast-tracking the structural reform if you really want to put the economy on a higher and more inclusive growth. I mean, obviously, the IMF has signaled the problems that we have in terms of the infrastructure issues that we have in the country, the unemployment, the low growth. I mean, for the past 10 years, growth has been around 1%, and obviously the high debt that we keep speaking about, which are some of the major impediments to the turnaround. And they have recommended that Operation Vulindlela, which is sitting in the presidency, that it doubled down its initiatives. They actually even strengthen some of these things. But such a mandate really requires the political will. I mean, also these, you know, these statements were recently echoed by the World Bank, which did also say that, look, we really need to drive our export strategy. That will enhance growth and obviously job creation and, you know, try and strengthen the country's economy and obviously be resilient to shocks. But now, in terms of the debt ceiling, I mean, you know, it's the one thing that we keep speaking about year in, year out. They have said that we really need to pursue fiscal consolidation. You know, they have said to us that we really need to make sure that we implement this debt ceiling. We really need to start cutting down on the continued bailouts to, you know, state-owned enterprises such as Eskom, Transnet, SAA, you know, but also when you look at some of the things also that's coming through, I mean, for instance, AXA this afternoon releasing their financial results, they've also posted a, you know, a 500 million rand positive, revenue for the year, which is a good sign. I mean, it really shows you that things are slowly going in the right direction, but like National Treasury has said, that we're expecting debt to peak at around 75% of GDP by 2027 before it starts declining. Hopefully, this is more coming to the fore. But I mean, like IMF has said, we need to cut spending. We need to reduce the transfers to the state-owned enterprises. And also, we need to protect public investment and also make sure that we really invest in our infrastructure programs. So, you know, that said, I mean, the IMF, just like a lot of, banking institutions and rating houses, they have said that, look, we've avoided a recession this year and also last year. But nonetheless, we're expecting, economic growth for this year to be at around 1% and then for next year to be around 1.2%, especially as we've had at least 5 months without load shedding and also the economic reforms that are coming in. They're not going to be a silver bullet, but obviously with time, we will see these things at least improving the economic outlook somewhat.
Indeed, and a huge shopping list of work to get done. And to be honest, as you speak of political will, even countries that have legislated debt ceilings like the United States themselves don't seem to be able to hold to them. So let's talk a little bit more and bring it back home in terms of the markets. You know, the couple of things that have been very interesting, specifically as we speak about tepid or muted economic data, we've got gold back above $2,500. It had sort of dipped earlier on in the week. What's behind that?
So, look, I mean, gold has been a picture of really being calm this week as we've seen the equity, the bond market, and other major commodities such as copper really facing significant volatility. Now, I think the market is really trying to assess how serious any U.S. slowdown may be. And if the Fed will give us that 50 basis point cut at their upcoming meeting. Now, like you say, gold is stuck at that 2,500 and it's really not moved this week. And I think it is really being a cool character, especially with the non-farm payrolls that is coming through tomorrow afternoon. Now, if the Fed decides to cut by 25 basis points in 2 weeks' time, that aids gold because obviously of a weaker dollar and also lower treasury yields. Now, if it's 50 basis points, well, so much better for gold. I mean, history shows that with every easing cycle, that is good for gold, however they begin. Whichever way it begins, it is really good for gold. Now, you know, we've done some analysis. It looks like at this point in time, if we do see, the Fed also doubling down and talking about a much more anticipated rate cut at the November meeting, we're expecting gold to peak beyond $3,000 an ounce. Wow. And, you know, if that is something that happens, we're expecting it to touch at least even 3,200, especially if the slowing inflation in the U.S. and also a cooling labor market allows the Fed to reduce their benchmark rate by at least 200 basis points by the end of next year. But, I mean, there's a lot that still can happen between now and the end of next year. But obviously, like we've seen, the forecast that we did have a look at is, you know, looking at some of the loosening cycles that started in the beginning of 2000. I mean, in general, gold prices tend to rise about 6.3% for every 25 basis point cut by the Fed. Now, you know, gold has surged you know, 22% this year. It's one of the best performing commodities. That is really reflecting a market that has already priced in about 100 basis points of cuts from the Fed. But also there's a word of warning. I mean,
sorry, this is over.
That's a year to date. So it just tells you that, I mean, gold is really doing well. But I think the other thing is that there is a word of warning. You know, the biggest gains for gold have come when the Fed rates have gone hand in hand with pronounced stress in the market.
Correct.
For instance, you know, gold gained 36% during the 2008 financial crisis. It also gained another 25% in the 2020 crisis during COVID. So it tells you that if there's no systemic crisis in the market, the gold gains may be slightly tempered somewhat, but nonetheless, we're still expecting it to reach the $3,000 an ounce.
Sorry, I just want to ask again, over what period is that 100 basis point cut expected? Over how many meetings?
So I mean, there's about 10 meetings before the end of next year. But I mean, like with anything, we do know that obviously the Fed will be looking at quite a number of metrics and obviously data points. I mean, the market is obviously running ahead of itself by anticipating 225 basis point cuts by the end of 2025. If you think about it, we started this year expecting, 150 basis points cuts. Nothing has happened for the past 9 months. We're only expecting it now. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, this is what I'm saying. The market is obviously getting ahead of itself, but nonetheless, anything is possible. If Jerome Powell gives us 25 this month and another 50 in November, anything is possible, especially with gold. And I think that's, at this point in time, it's just a case of if we get to 2,600, that momentum could continue to 3,000.
Mm. Do you see even anything close to 75 bips in South Africa? I don't. I feel as though our systemic risks are a little bit deeper, even if we have to track.
Look, I mean, Lesetha has got, two meetings before the closes of the year. On the 18th of September, we do have our inflation data. You remember the last print about 2 weeks ago, we did see inflation at around 4.6. It's not really the midpoint. He wants 4.5.
It's close enough from over 5%. You know? Yeah.
It's close enough. But I think what will obviously really help the market somewhat, and I think the inflation print for this month on the 18th will be really boosted by the fact that we've already had another petrol price decrease. Just a week ago, we also saw our production price index also coming off lower. At this point in time, we are seeing a stronger rand around the 17.71 level. On top of that, what is really helping is the fact that Brent prices is at around $72 a barrel. So it tells you a story that, you know, if everything and all the stars align, you do see a soft landing for the U.S. You do see the Fed cutting by 25 and, you know, giving us indications that they could cut by 50. And also the next day, the governor giving us potentially 25. And obviously on that same day, we see inflation printing at 4.3, 4.4. Then it tells you a story that potentially he can give us 25. And maybe give us another 50 basis points in November.
For Christmas. Okay. Lots to bear in mind. All right. Thank you so much. Madete Tulare is the head of FX Execution. Lots for us to think about. Next number that is due is tomorrow's non-farm payrolls.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.